Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, we are back in effect once again. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We got nothing but lists for you today. That's what we're going to do. David James over there making it happen.
Yes, sir.
All right, all right, all right. Here's what's coming up. We're going to go top five, and this is just kind of piggybacking off of what ESPN Radio and their various platforms have done, the top five list, and that's what you get, right? It's the off season. It is the time for lists. That's what you are going to be flooded with between now and July 22nd when the rookies report and July 25th, the veterans report. Anyhow, we're going to kick it off with the top five quarterbacks. I'll say that for last. We'll do that last. We'll have the top five running backs. And Run TMC, Chris Sanders and I, we're going to give our top five free agents. And I'll tell you, David, this was a tough, tough exercise figuring out the top five free agents. Man, I had about 11 to 12 names come off the top of my head. So narrowing it down to five was tough, but we'll see how my list compares to Chris Sanders, the Forever Titans receiver. How it compares to his list, but we're going to do the top five running backs in Titans history. And just a precursor, a caveat, don't get mad that I don't have Earl Campbell on there. Don't get mad that I don't have Lorenzo Wright. Man, Lorenzo Wright with that run and shoot offense, that was something. We're doing only top five Titans. So I'm not going back to the Oilers days. I'm just doing the Titans days. Now, obviously, you have some crossover with Eddie George, but we know that when you talk about Eddie George, you're talking about him as a Titan. So we're going to start from five and count up to one. And for me, kicking it off at number five, and I know it was a very short amount of time that he was here, but if you look in that one season, well, the best season that he had, he was here for two, but the best season that he had, DeMarco Murray, 1,946 yards as a Titan. But you look at that year, he led the Titans in, or he led the NFL in rushing, the AFC, that is. He was the leading rusher. So for me, when you look at Murray, and it's crazy because if you remember, like last year, I remember people showing highlights of Derrick Henry when he first got here. And they're like, oh, man, this guy was. And it was just kind of going retrospect after seeing how Burke struggled a bit when he first got here. So they were showing that. And it's like, hey, look, man, you know, you could struggle, but you could get it together as well. But you look, that first season that he played with the Titans, 1,287 rushing yards, 9 touchdowns. And then he backed it up the following year. I mean, 6 touchdowns as well. He only had 659 rushing yards. But, yeah, he's up there. And for me, I have DeMarco Murray at number 5. When you go to number 4, hey, man, you can't think Titans running backs without thinking Thunder and Lightning. You know what that tandem was, Chris Johnson and Lindell White. Now, Thunder and Lightning is probably the best combo the Titans have ever had. I'm not going to put the Lightning part of it at number 4, but, you know, at number 4, we are going to have the Thunder part of it, and that's Lindell White. And I always liked those big, burly running backs. You know, He was in that Natron Means, Jerome Bettis type of, you know, big short yardage back. 15 touchdowns in 2008. Man, how much more can you say? I don't know of a Titans running back outside of Derrick Henry who was getting that type of totals. And that includes a great one, Eddie George. You know what? Let me look up Eddie George, his single season totals. I looked that up. But in the meantime, you know, when you look at Lendale White, I would love to have seen him get to spend a little more time with the Titans. Obviously, things just started to go left a bit, and you know he ended up not being with the team. Where did he go? To Denver after the Titans, right? I think it was Denver.
I'm pretty sure it was Denver.
I think it was Denver. But nevertheless, I mean, this guy, in my opinion, is one of the best running backs in Titans history. So he will go ahead and go at number four. And as for Eddie George, 2000, he had 14 touchdowns. So Lendale White has had more touchdowns in one season than Eddie George. I believe Derrick Henry has more. But, you know, nevertheless, Lendale White at number four. Hey, we said thunder and lightning, right? Yes, the Lightland sir. Part of it, it strikes right now. Chris Johnson, CJ2K. I remember, crazy thing, I remember being at the draft, right? In New York at Radio City Music Hall.
Yeah.
When he was selected. And I remember they mentioned his name, and the Panthers fans, you know, were like,
mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
Because I remember just how surprised they were, because they never heard of him.
Which is surprising.
I mean, he was not a really wide-known prospect coming out of East Carolina until he ran that crazy 40.
Yes.
So I get what you're saying where it could be surprising. It's like, this dude ran the best 40 ever. You should know who he is. But I remember that, man. And then seeing this guy come in, and what was his first carry in the preseason? Didn't he house call it?
I think so. Yeah. If I remember correctly.
It was just crazy to me how this dude would be able to stretch that thing out and he'll make that one cut. And next thing you know, I'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
The speed he had was just, it was tremendous. I can't believe how fast he was on the football field, the way he used to pull away. And then you could even dump that screen to him and he'll take that and take it the distance too. So when you just think of running backs in that time frame, you know, of Chris Johnson, I think he has to be mentioned as one of the best. Now, he only has 7,965 career rushing yards. So the Hall of Fame conversation, probably no. But I definitely think that he was one of the best in that era, in that time that he played, and probably the most explosive. But unfortunately for him, you know, this was when you had guys like, it was a bunch. We're not even going to get into all of them, but we'll keep this Titans focused. And moving on to number two, this is where it gets interesting, right? Because you got two tractor trailers. You know, and it's like, okay.
Big boys.
Do you want, you know, a Nissan Titan or do you want an F-150? You want a Chevy Silverado or an F-150? What you want? What do you have?
Man. That's.
No, I mean your truck.
Oh, my truck. Oh, GMC.
Okay, GMC. All right, you're a GMC man like me. That's right.
Gotta be, man.
I don't have a truck, but, you know, I'm a Chevy Camaro guy, but we're in the same family, you know what I mean? But, yeah, Eddie George is my number two, and I never saw him play here, but I still see his jersey in the stands. And there are times where you'll hear a player's name chanted, like they chant the first name. And everyone always says, you know, the last time that happened, the only other player who that happened with was Eddie George. And they would chant, Eddie, Eddie, Eddie. You got to give him props, too, because he's a head coach right here, too, at Tennessee State. Yeah. But I love the way he's still involved with the program. He came back, and actually we named the Good Guy Award, the Pro Football Writers Association, the Titans chapter, the Tennessee chapter. We named the Good Guy Award after Eddie George, and it's presented to the guy who helps the media the most. Now, naturally, it went to Kevin Byard, But guess who was in the locker room to present it? Eddie George. So you talk about the man that he is off the field. Obviously, you know, there's never been any trouble. He's also a 215 guy. So, exactly. You know, I got to give him props for that. You know what I mean? But if you talk about the player, that 2000 season, 14 touchdowns, but you think about the run to the Super Bowl, he was a critical part of it. And for heaven's sakes, David, his picture is outside of, like, there's a mural of him outside of the stadium. You got to have him in there. Tough to not put him number one. He's a Ring of Honor. Got to see him go into the Ring of Honor recently. I think that was 2 years ago. But, yeah, Eddie George, he's a tough one. 10,009 yards rushing with the Titans. Career-wise, I think it's close to 11.
Yes.
Hall of Famer. That's a tough one. He's one of those, you know, Paul Kaharsky has a tough job when it comes time to, you know, fight for Eddie George. I'm not sure. I need to ask him that, how that conversation is going, if he's pushing for him or not. But nevertheless, he's a Titans Hall of Famer, I'll tell you that much. And he's the number two running back in Titans history. Number one is pretty simple for me.
I wonder who it is.
How could you not have Derrick Henry?
I mean, he's the king for a reason.
You talk about a guy who's looked at as the best back. I mean, you go from late 2018, more 2019 to now. Like, you don't mention best running back. Well, somebody does. We'll get to that. But for the most part, you don't mention best running back without having Derrick Henry in the conversation. And 8,335 rushing yards, 78 touchdowns. Now, that's the thing that differed for me. That's what separated him from Eddie George, is the 78 touchdowns to the 64. Now, you look at yards, right? Because you say, oh, well, he had more yards. Okay, you are correct. Mm-hmm. But Eddie George played 128 games, 2,733 attempts to Derrick Henry's 102, 1,750 attempts. 4.8 yards per carry for Derrick Henry. So I think, you know, you look at the touchdowns, franchise single season record for touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. And then you look at just, I watched him, a story. I'll give you a story. I watched Derrick Henry, his organization, they invited me to one of his events. So I went to Burlington at 100 Oaks, which is now closed apparently. He walked in and he bought out the layaway for everybody. And we're talking about Christmas time. So you know the layaways were heavy. He bought everybody's layaway. Stroke the check, boom, done. Another time at that same Burlington, he gave, I think it was a group of about 30 to 40 kids, gave them each gift cards, $250 to go shopping.
Man. I mean.
You got to love that.
Got
stuff.
To.
You got to love it. So, yeah, Derrick Henry for me is the best Titans running back of all time. You look at 2020, 17 rushing touchdowns. You look at 2019, he had 16. So we're talking about a lot of trips to the end zone. So Derrick Henry's my top one. But as I mentioned, there was somebody who had a top five list that didn't have Derrick Henry in it. We're going to go ahead and hear that. I couldn't believe it.
Number five.
Aaron Jones, Green Bay Packers. Here's a guy who rushed for 1,100 yards, averaged about 5.3 yards a carry. A couple touchdowns on the reception side. You know, when you look at him, he's a dual threat out of the backfield. He can run between the tackles on the perimeter. He could catch the ball out of the backfield. He could block, pick up blitz protection. Gave Green Bay an opportunity and a chance when this guy was on the offensive side of the ball for them. I like Aaron Jones sitting at five.
Number four.
Saquon Barkley at four. We've seen Saquon Barkley when he's on the field for the Giants and when he's not on the field for the Giants, what the Giants look like. Max obviously would have him as number zero, higher than number one.
That's right.
If he had the opportunity to. 1,300-yard rusher, 4.4 yards a carry. 10 touchdowns, some of those long runs, some of those one-yard plunges, caught the ball out of the backfield, 57 grabs. We know he can do both, dual threat.
Number three,
Nick Chubb and the Cleveland Browns, a 1,500-yard rusher despite splitting time with Kareem Hunt, okay? The offensive side of the ball didn't have Deshaun Watson. Jacoby Brissett was the quarterback, so imagine the pressure that was on him in terms of the running game. He did some just tremendous things. His value is extremely high. He won't be happy with me sitting at three, I'm sure.
Number two,
Christian McCaffrey, Mr. Do-It-All, whether it was in Carolina or San Francisco. He's a guy that if he was completely healthy throughout the season, he could pick him up and put him down. Statistically, he'll probably never be a 1,800-yard rusher, 1,900-yard rusher, but he does so much both in the run game and in the passing game. He's such a threat. That's why San Francisco, immediately when he was available, went out and got him.
Number one
for my liking and my money last year and coming into this year, Josh Jacobs of the Raiders, 1,600-yard rusher, plus leading the National Football League last year, averaged about 5 yards a pop, 12 touchdowns for an offense that struggled at times throughout the course of the season. Will he remain at number one? This remains to be seen. There are some guys that potentially could be on the list, but these are the top five.
Yeah. Look, man, I'm a Keyshawn fan. I bought his book. Been on his show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. But with all due respect, come on, man. You're not going to have Derrick Henry on your top five?
Top five.
I know he mentioned Nick Chubb, the 1,500. Guess what? Derrick had 1,500, too. And that offensive line. Mm-hmm. Like, there were no Pro Bowlers on the Titans' offensive line.
And
actually, there was.
Excuse me.
Ben Jones.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look collectively, that was not the best unit.
Also, Josh Jacobs being on there with the worst team in the NFL.
Worst team in the NFL. And if you face the Titans, what do you know is going to happen?
You're going to get the ball.
You know Derrick Henry is getting the ball.
Yeah.
When you face the Titans,
there's going to be
defensive,
man.
Exactly. Defensive coordinators, they come in and they say, look, man, we're not going to let Derrick Henry's not going to beat us. And what happens week after week after week, he gets his.
Mm-hmm.
You face the Raiders, oh, wait, you got Hunter Renfro. Oh, shoot, Darren Waller. All right, but yeah, Josh Jacobs. And that's not to take anything away from Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But I just feel Henry should be in the top five. Mm-hmm. But that's what these lists are for, to generate conversation. We're going to go to a break, and we're going to come back and keep the conversation going with Run TMC, Top 5 Titans Free Agents. What's up, everyone? This is Teron Davenport. I want to tell you about Sarah Chevrolet Buick GMC of Nashville. They took great care of me when I got my brand new Camaro. They have hundreds of new or gently pre-owned vehicles, special discounts, and monthly incentives. They don't have any market adjustments, zero dealer ads. Save, save, save. You could go online to chat, check availability, and purchase your vehicle without ever stepping foot into the dealership. Or you could go there and see my guy, Josh Lemon. Either way, check them out at sarahnashville.com. That's S-E-R-R-A, nashville.com. And tell them TD sent you.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run, run, DMT. For you. Fresh.
Mm-hmm. Here they come. Let me hear them. All right, here we go.
Let's go.
The music fades. The lights are dim. Mm-hmm. And now, coming to you live from Detroit, Michigan. For your Detroit Pistons, at point guard, the hometown hero, Flint's finest from Michigan State, number 24, Mateen Cleaves.
And now, starring for the lead singer of The Temptations, Otis Redding. You ain't no temp no more. What's cracking, man? How you doing, man? We was off last week, man, but how's everything going with you, boss?
Everything is great, man. A good opportunity just to get some downtime last week, so good. You know what it has been.
Shoot, man, I've been driving myself crazy. Ain't no football. I've been watching, you know, Sanford and Son, Grady, and all that crazy stuff, watching Judge Judy. Man, I got to have my football back, Doc.
That Judge Judy still got your attention.
Man, she got me in a headlock, man. We get married for like 2 days, and then we get divorced, I'll get half.
Well, you know, Steve Harvey has his own judge show now, too.
I can't watch it, man. The mustache, man, it'd be looking at me. That's the Jeff Fisher mustache.
That mustache is...
Man.
Yeah. He could braid it.
That mustache. It don't even look real, man.
No.
It like he just glued on.
It's just like the old box he used to have. You know what I mean?
Hey, that was a piece, dog. That was a piece. Oh, man. So what's going on with you, man?
Well, you know, it's the off season.
Yeah.
Whenever you have the off season, the content is always list. So I think we're going to start the list season. And I went over the top five running backs in the opener. We're going to do the top five quarterbacks after this. Maybe next week we'll do the top five receivers. But today, what we're going to focus on for Run TMC is the top five free agents. We're going to count it up from five to one. So I will let you go ahead and kick it off, your number five free agent.
Why are you going to do me like that, man? Hey, I'm going to go with my number five pick. And this was hard because there's a lot of great, you know, free agent signings that the Tennessee Titans have. But I'm going to start with number five. I'm going to go with Randall Goffrey.
Ooh.
Ooh. The one thing, because I actually played with him in 2019, he had 169 tackles. He was physical. But this is what I love about him, is he was a respectable teammate, and he worked hard. He made that defense that we had in 1999. He wasn't on that one, but he came there in 2000. He made that defense even better than it was in 1999. So I have to go with Randall Goffrey, my dog.
Man, we're coming in hot together. The Mars Day, the times him when they clap hands and they hit that little dance. That's what we doing. Cause Randall Goffrey is my number five also. And
you are lying.
I'm dead serious.
Man. Wow.
David James will look at it and see Randall Goffrey number five. And I was curious your take on that because I know that you guys were teammates and I wanted to ask you just, what is it that he brought to that defense that elevated the way it was? Because that 2000 defense was ridiculous.
Ooh. You know what I love about him is I'm not saying he's like Jeffrey Simmons, but his presence was known on the field. And that's how Randall Goffrey was. He was consistently running the ball. He's making checks, but his presence on the field. I mean, you better believe that if you're running the ball outside, whatever it is, you're going to get hit in the mouth. I mean, you're definitely going to get that. And I just love that he had one speed. It was full speed, but you just knew his presence on the field.
I love it. So it's funny that we had the same one there. And I went back and forth. There was three different guys I had in that slot, you know, but Randall Goffrey, he took it. So at number four, what do you got there?
In my number four position, man, this was a little tough because there's a lot of great guys in that position. But I love this guy. It's Kyle VandenBosch. I mean, he was there in 2005. He had 38 sacks. And the one thing I love about him is everybody talked about his motor. But you remember he had those red eyes that were scared of opponents?
Yeah.
I mean, you love a cat like that. But here's what I really love about this cat is all the four seasons that he was there, he played all 16 games.
Yeah.
That's why I love this guy. I mean, he was physical. His presence on the field was amazing, but he was just a guy that was consistently around the ball.
No, that's an excellent pick, and he's someone I definitely considered for this list. For me, at number four, I went with Kevin Mawai. And I will say this, the old lineman got a lot of love from me in this.
Absolutely.
And it was tough. There were a few that I could have put in there that I held off because I didn't want to have recency bias. But anyhow, when you look at Kevin Mawai, I mean, this guy, I remember using him in Madden when he was with the Jets, you know, had Keyshawn at receiver, Wayne Corbett, Curtis Martin, you know what I mean? And I was using Kevin Mawai. Vinny Testaverde was the quarterback. Mm-hmm. My guy, Anthony Beck, at tight end. So I used to use them a lot, man. But he came to the Titans, and you look at how things happen. Obviously, you got the 2K from Chris Johnson. Yep. But more importantly, you look at the sacks, 2008 and 2009. Yep. So 2008, they, as a unit, now you know the center is your quarterback of your offensive line.
Yeah, absolutely.
12 sacks allowed. That's crazy. First in the NFL. The following year, it was 15 allowed, 2009.
Wow. That was
second in the NFL. I rest my case, man. Kevin Mawai, I could have shifted him up, but I kept him here at four. I'm a little biased when it comes to the next guy I have.
You know, I love that pick. And the reason why I say this, I actually coached with Mawai 2 years at Montgomery Bet Academy. When I tell you that a guy that's really nice off the field, but when you get on the field, he will bite your elbow off.
Damn.
I mean, he is intense.
Yeah.
He hates to lose. He pays attention to details, and he understands what to do in the game as opposed to just being out there.
And he's over there at Lipscomb now, right?
He's at Lipscomb right now.
Yeah,
but, man, I'm
going
to tell you something. This guy is smart. He makes sure those guys are prepared. So I absolutely agree with that pick.
Nice, nice. So who you got at number three? We're going to keep counting it on up.
I am going to go with Delanie Walker.
Ooh.
I got to go with Delanie Walker.
D-Love.
I mean, 2014. D-Love, he's that dog. 2014 to 2017, you know, three-time Pro Bowler. And in 2015 to 18, he was a captain. But here's what I love about the whole situation. For four straight years, he led the team in receptions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tight end.
Right.
That's a tight end. He's leading your team for 4 years straight in reception. What does that say? That means it's a guy you can rely on, but also a great tight end.
Yeah, no argument from me there having Delanie in the top five. Maybe where he is, I'll give you an argument. But nevertheless, we're sharing a brain as far as him being one of the best free agents. For me at number three, like I said, it's biased. Look, Ben Jones is my number three free agent.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
It's hard to put him above Kevin Mawai, and I will admittedly say, like, I'll admit it's biased. I got to be really cool with Ben Jones, man. Awesome dude. But you have the 2,000-yard rusher in Derrick Henry. It almost happened again. It should have happened again, barring injury, and I hate – you remember Zach Piller? You remember Zach?
Yeah, I played with Zach Piller.
Yeah, that's why I asked you to remember him. We were texting back and forth earlier this week, man, and
right.
He was like, is Derrick Henry a Hall of Famer? And I'm like,
what?
I think he's on his way. And I just got to thinking, like, you know, if Derrick Henry doesn't get injured, and I hate using ifs, but
man.
If he doesn't get injured, that's back-to-back 2K seasons.
Back-to-back.
His Hall of Fame candidacy is cemented. But nevertheless, Ben Jones, let's stay on course here, TD. Ben Jones is a guy that for the stretch that he was with that team, he was the epitome, especially when Mike Vrabel came in. He epitomized what that team stood for. And the thing that always stands out to me is that one time the pile was just kind of there, and he ran up to that pile. Next thing you know, it moved 3 to 4 yards. And he got up, and the way that he was celebrating afterwards, I was sitting there in the press box in my sport coat and slacks with the bow tie and J's on, like, and you know, you try not to be, but you can't help but pick up that emotion.
You can't help it,
so
man.
For me,
absolutely.
And then, by the way, at one stretch, he played 63 out of 64 games.
He's tough.
Tough.
He's tough, man.
How this dude came back from some of those injuries to go back in the game, like, hey, more power to him. Ben Jones, my number three.
But you know, you gain the respect of your head coach when he's crying at the game and said he's never seen anything like that.
Right.
When you gain the respect of your head coach when he's in tears, that just shows you that he's something special. And I agree with that pick. That's a great pick, TD.
Appreciate it. So we are moving on up, man. Number two, who you got?
This one's going to surprise you, but I have to put him there. I got to go with Neil O'Donnell.
Ooh.
I have to. And the reason why I say that, I know I'm a little biased, but if Neil O'Donnell is not there, we went 4-1, and when Stephen there got hurt week two, I don't think we would have went to the Super Bowl. I mean, I really don't, because the thing about it, Stephen there got hurt, he hurt his sternum against Kansas City, and he came in there, and he had four straight wins. Four straight wins, because if we don't get those wins, we lose. So even though he may not have the numbers, I still think that he still was a vital part of us going to the Super Bowl because he was there. So that's my number two pick.
It's so funny you mentioned that, because You know, when I was going over the quarterbacks and I came up with my top five list, I'm not going to say whether or not he's on there, but he's somebody I very strongly considered just because of what you said. You know, that Super Bowl, this franchise's lone Super Bowl appearance, he played a huge part in that. So a great pick there, man. I like that.
Appreciate it. Thank
I
you,
like
bro.
That. So for me, number two, so we're kind of recycling some things. Number two for me was your number four, and that's Kyle VandenBosch. And you eloquently stated, made a great case, three Pro Bowls. He had, like you said, 38.5 sacks. That was in 74 games. This guy was a terror coming off the edge. And I think, you know, what he did just kind of carried on that tradition, that wide nine alignment, you know, from Coach Washburn. And, that was a great acquisition. He managed to find a way to not get hurt. You know, he had some injury problems initially, but then he came here and, hey, it came together. So VandenBosch is my number two. Now, at number one, who you got?
I went with Kevin Mawai.
Ooh.
I went with Kevin Mawai. And the reason why I say that, as I've been around him, you know, his leadership, his attitude, his focus, his drive. And just like what you said, you gave some great statistics. In 2008, they gave up 12 sacks. That's not even a sack a game.
Right.
You know, and then he helped 2K get, 2,000 yards? And here's what I love about him. I know this is kind of off the subject, but we all talk about the on-the-field stuff, you know, the focus, the tenacity, the mean. But do you know that when he worked at Montgomery Bet Academy, that every 2 or 3 weeks, he would buy all the janitor's shoes?
Really?
Yeah. And he didn't tell anybody.
That's so dope, man.
Dude, he didn't tell anybody. The managers loved him. He went without anybody knowing, without any accolades, with any none of that stuff. He went and bought all of them shoes and I think gave them money.
Dang.
Come on, man. That's why he's my number one guy. Not just for the Tennessee Titans, not just because he helped Chris Johnson get 2,000 yards and his leadership, attitude, focus, all that great stuff. But the man that he is, that's why he's number one for me.
And you look at how long he was such a significant role in the NFLPA, too. So definitely got to shout that out. And man, that story you told, he over there at Lipscomb. I don't know, man. I might see, can I be a part-time janitor? You know what I'm saying? Nah. So for me at number one, man.
Yeah.
Look, I look, and this is a guy that, you know, I covered him in San Francisco, and I'll never forget. You know, this tight end, right? Like we're watching special teams, and they got a daggone tight end wearing number 46. That alone, I'm like. Man, he must be a scrub. Oh, hold up. They got this joker back there returning. He's with the kick return unit? And he won the job? Oh, shoot.
Wow.
D-Love, man. Delanie Walker is my number one free agent signing. And I just think of just the way he helped this organization get back to that level of respect, you know. Mm-hmm. And when he came to the Titans, you know, they weren't much of anything. You know what I mean? You just
right.
Mariota came in, and he was an absolute security blanket for Mariota.
Yeah.
The way he ran routes. Look, you talk about Chig, right? Okonkwo, and they're saying, hey, look, you know, Chig, we want you to be like Delanie. I talked to Tony Dews, the tight ends coach, and he told me that he shows Chig cut-ups of Delanie Walker because that's the style. Like, that's what they want Chig to attain, that level of play. So, D-Love for me. And then, as you mentioned, led the team in receptions from 2014 to 2017. Three-time Pro Bowler, four-time team captain. Holla at your boy.
Yeah, but, you know, what's wild about the whole situation, man, is do you think – no, let me rewind. Let me ask you this question. Do you think the Titans should put him in the Ring of Honor?
Oh, I do.
I do, too.
I do.
I do, too.
I mean, I just think
I do too.
Like, he was that much of a part of that franchise, you know, but there's
a bit huge.
There's a backload of it's always tough when you get to those types of top fives, Ring of Honor, those types of things, man.
It's real tough.
But when you look at some of the guys that didn't make it, you know, I got to mention my boy, Nate Washington. You know what
I
mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I had him on there.
2011, he was a 1K and the first receiver to have 1,000 yards since in 7 years. And you talk about not missing games. 6 years, he didn't miss any. You got Nate Washington. Brian Arakpo, he was one of the ones
that
I was in and out. Him and Godfrey. That was another one.
He was a big. When I first saw Arakpo, I'm trying to pronounce his name right, I didn't understand how big that dude is.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, he's enormous, man.
I used to joke with him, like you when you're done playing, you need to go to Hollywood and be a voiceover. Like you need to be in those cartoons and stuff, man.
You right? You go there. I'll be scared. Be like Teddy Pendergrass. Turn them off. Oh, okay. I'll turn them off.
Right. Roger Saffold is another one I considered, but I didn't put him in there.
Yeah, but see, he wasn't there that long though.
Right. That's the problem. Chris Hope. I know that's one that
yeah, that's another
familiar
one. Yeah.
With I'm trying to think who else here. Denico Autry was a guy that I thought of, but this one is another one that I it was Randall Godfrey, Brian Arakpo, and Logan Ryan.
Logan Ryan, that's right.
Four INTs and four sacks in 2019. Yeah. Not many DBs had done that before, and you just look at the whole mindset, how he led that DB room. Like he placed the table for Kevin Byard to become the leader that he is. So. I just remember before games also, man, like I got so much respect for Logan Ryan, so much
respect.
I remember before games, I would go over when they huddle up before they come out in the tunnel. I would go over and just kind of stick my phone in there and just turn it and give fans the inside access. But going back and listening to the way that he spoke to them, how ready he had, man, much respect.
Man, like a coach.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a coach. I mean, he's like a coach.
Yep.
You know, and I think one of the biggest plays he's made was in the remember in the Patriots game in the playoff game.
Yeah, the interception.
The interception that was huge. That was huge, and I think when he got that, that kind of sealed the deal for him personally. And that's why I agree with you. He could be on that list also.
Yeah, for sure. So man, that's a great list, man. I definitely have to say. Before we get out of here, though, I tell you what, I got a funny story for you, man. So I was watching this old movie with Richard Pryor in it, right? And it's called The Toy. And he ran out in this water, and there were piranhas in the water, and they bit him up, and he ran out of the water real, real fast.
I know.
And my daughter was like, "That guy you do the show with, he's pretty fast too. Is that him?" I said, "Nah, baby. That's Richard Pryor, not Chris."
Oh, man. Get off my phone, man.
What's up, everybody? Teron Davenport here for Superbook Sports. Bring that big bet energy this summer with Superbook Sports. Superbook Sports is the most trusted name in sports betting. And right now, use promo code THEGAME to score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, they'll match your first bet up to $250 with promo code THEGAME. Simply visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions or download the Superbook Tennessee app in the app stores. Enter promo code THEGAME and you'll get $250 courtesy of Superbook Sports. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Traylon Burks, and I'm talking with TD.
Are you in search of the big line? Mesmerized by the big
That Kevin Gates. That's smooth music, man. I've been on a Kevin Gates kick all week, man, so I'm glad we were able to get that to bring us back. You are checking out Talking with TD. I'm Teron Davenport. He's David James over there making it happen.
Yes, sir.
We just went over the top five running backs. Rather, we did that in the opener, but then we just now went over the top five free agents in Titans history with Titans receiver Chris Sanders, forever a Titans receiver, that is. And just to recap his list, at number five, he had Randall Godfrey. Number four, Kyle Vandenbosch. Number three, Delanie Walker. Number two, Neil O'Donnell. Number one, Kevin Mawai. For me, I had at number five, Randall Godfrey. Number four, Kevin Mawai. Number three, Ben Jones. Number two, Kyle Vandenbosch. And number one, Delanie D. Love Walker. That was a great opportunity to talk shop and just kind of get some of the things that he remembered with playing with some of these guys. So we're going to keep the top 5 conversation going, and he had Neil O'Donnell as one of his top 5 free agents. Naturally, we'll have the top 5 quarterbacks now, and Neil O'Donnell, he may be among them, but like we did in the previous ones, we're going to start at 5 and work our way up. At number 5 for me, Kerry Collins. And wow. I think when you look at Kerry Collins, 15-17 record, but he might be the most strong-armed quarterback the Titans have had. I think you look, obviously, that 2006 to 2010, you know, the franchise was up and down, but 15-17 record. We're talking about 33 touchdowns, you know, which compares pretty well to some of the other, a lot of the other quarterbacks, you know, that have played for the Titans. So I will go Kerry Collins at number 5. Number 4 for me, for some reason, this guy just seems to, you know, when I talk to a lot of the Titans, the tenured reporters, they don't really have a lot of good to say about Vince Young. But 30-17 record. I think when you look at Vince Young, for me, I think of that, was it the Texans game?
Yes.
Where he had that long run?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That dual threat ability that he brought. And he was one of the league's premier playmakers for that, you know, a good portion of his time with the Titans. You know, 8,998 yards, 42 touchdowns, but 42 interceptions. But you look at the rushing part of it, you know, he had a good amount of rushing yards. He was a threat to run the football, made it tough to play man defense. You had, the year after him was a 1,000-yard receiver, Nate Washington was in 2011, so yeah, that was with Hasselbeck, who was another guy I considered. But, you know, I think Vince Young, to me, he might be the most electrifying quarterback this franchise has seen. Not the best, but most electrifying. The next one that we have at number 3, Marcus Darling. You ever see Boomerang?
Yes, yeah.
Lady Eloise. No, but all jokes aside, Marcus Mariota. He was the quarterback when I got here. And I remember, you know, watching him. I always thought his delivery, and same thing with Vince Young, quirky delivery, almost like sidearm. It was unique. But Mariota had a unique delivery as well. And I just, what stood out to me was the way, like, he was a different quarterback in that you see so many quarterbacks, they're the ones that get on the table and yell. And mm-hmm. There wasn't rah-rah with Marcus Mariota. But rest assured, everybody in that locker room felt he was a leader.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I forget which game it was, but I remember Adoree Jackson told me, he was like, yo, Marcus got up and spoke, and we all went crazy. So it's in him. It's in him, but I think, again, you go back to the dual threat, 13,207 yards passing, 76 touchdowns, 42 interceptions. But you talk about getting this franchise back on course. He was a major part of that, major part of it. And, I mean, he came in, they were in bad shape.
They were.
Bad shape, number 2 overall pick, you know, and then things just started to work out. He and Delanie Walker, my number 1 mm-hmm. Titans free agent, they connected, and that tandem was pretty dangerous. So I will go ahead and go Marcus Mariota at number 3.
I still remember his touchdown pass that he caught himself.
Yeah, in the Chiefs City. Game.
Yeah, yeah.
The Chiefs game. Yeah, and you know, that's the other thing, right? He led them to a playoff win, a road playoff win against a very good Chiefs
team.
In
a very tough environment.
Then they went into New England the following year. We know what happened.
Yeah.
Or following game, rather. We know what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, another thing that I think about is how he was after week 6, 2019 against the Broncos. He lost his job that following week, but you never heard him fuss. He just kept his head down and continued to work. I wanted to do a story on him. He was like, no, I don't want the story or any attention to be on me. The other guy is the quarterback. Now, he didn't say the other guy, but he said, I'm not the quarterback. You know, I'm not the starter. And he just kept working. And then he did get a chance. He came in one of the games later. And, you know, it was cool to see that. But I definitely want to shout him out just for the way he handled that situation. Then he went the following year. Where did he go? To Oakland, right?
Yeah,
it was Oakland at the time. Ended up in Atlanta. Now he's in Philly.
Man.
Now he is in Philly, backing up Jalen Hurts. But, Marcus Mariota is my number three quarterback in Titans history. Again, we are not doing the Oilers.
Yes.
Okay, because if we were, Warren Moon just separates from everybody.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
He's a guy that's one of the best ever. And obviously, you know, you got Dan Pastorini. And for my seasoned folks, you got George Blanda. You know, but these are guys, Kenny Stabler. These are guys that I'm not going to have in the mix here. Chris Chandler is another one. Mm-hmm. But at number two, we talk about the other guy, right? And that's Ryan Tannehill. And I don't know. You don't see too many players seize a moment the way he did.
Yeah.
He got that opportunity. And right off the bat, was it the Chargers game? I think it was the Chargers.
I think so.
And then you had the Bucks. Mm-hmm. That dude, he was a totally different quarterback from what I had seen with the Dolphins. And all of a sudden, that guy that was, you know, tried to play safe all the time, didn't really take many risks. This dude was chucking that ball in spots where you're like, oh, don't throw it. Oh, that's a good throw. That's how the fans and the coaches were looking at that. And I think when you look at Ryan Tannehill, it's crazy. You know, we're talking about a guy who a lot of people are saying, you know, hey, push him aside and get him out of here. This is the second best quarterback in franchise history. Mm-hmm. The numbers don't say it. I mean, 12,831 passing yards behind Mariota. 89 touchdowns, 33 interceptions. And I think, you know, you look at that 2019, 2020, like that stretch. I mean, we're talking about numbers that it was like a 70% completion.
Yeah.
Like that's ridiculous. But and anytime I see high completion percentages, I'm like, okay, what's that yards per attempt look like?
No, agree.
He was up there. I want to. It was like 8 or 9 yards.
Yeah.
Per attempt, and it got even better off of play action.
Exactly.
But to have that, I think it was Steve Young and somebody else. I don't remember the other player. Drew Brees.
That sounds about right.
Drew Brees.
That sounds about right.
Those were the only other guys to have that high of a yards per completion percentage. I mean, yards per completion and that high of a completion percentage.
Yeah.
Look, he was that dude in 19 and 20. I know, 21, he had a solid year. We know how it ended. I don't think that's all on him, but he took it to heart. And obviously, as you mentioned, it put him in a bad place. But I think Ryan Tannehill, this team experienced highs that were last done by that 2000, that group, you know, that run, that 2019 run to the AFC Championship game was unbelievable. This city was on fire.
It was.
Even, look, 2021, the city, man, they were. I remember going to the pep rally before the game, the night before the game over there, back at that little area by the convention center. Titans fans were out, you know, so he got this city back on the Titan bandwagon. Now, of course, they've since jumped off, but, you know, he's someone I think you look at rushing ability also. Mm-hmm. 7 rushing touchdowns 2 years ago. It was second only to Jalen Hurts as a quarterback. I mean, red zone, he's a big part of why they're so dangerous in the red zone. Obviously, Derrick Henry has a lot to do with it as well. But, yeah, I have Ryan Tannehill as my number 2.
Very underappreciated.
Underappreciated, yes, yes. Number 1, now this guy wasn't underappreciated. Oh, he was loved and adored.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about Eddie George, who has a mural on the stadium. Yeah. This guy does too. Uh-huh. And that is none other than Steve McNair.
Yes, sir. And Air McNair.
And I remember just, you know, being an HBCU product, I remember just how happy I was. I still remember, right, they had the they had the little race cars with the Heisman in the Heisman candidacy. Yes. And I remember seeing Steve McNair's head on one of those race cars. I mean, Alcorn State, and you're a Heisman candidate.
It's insane.
Insane. And he's a good – now, I wonder nowadays how he would be, how he would have been received. Because you look – like back then, you could slow cook.
Yeah.
Right? You could slow cook. Chris Chandler had some starts. He didn't always – you know, he didn't come in ready to rock.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was a very high pick. Nowadays, like, you look at Bryce Young, boom.
Yeah.
He's the starter. You look at Anthony Richardson, even though, you know, what, 13, 14 starts?
Yeah.
In college, he's probably going to be the starter. Mm-hmm. Like, the expectation is for you to come in and produce immediately. So I wonder how McNair would have been received. Yeah. But I know one thing. Once everything started to click, and there's not a daggone warrior like him to put on a Titans uniform. Like, the stuff he played through, you know, listening to some of these guys tell me, you know, whether it's Derek Mason or Chris Sanders, mm-hmm. you know, Eddie George. Like, that dude was – that's the epitome of a warrior, exactly. You know. And stat-wise, 27,141 passing yards, 156 passing touchdowns. So, yeah, he was doing the daggone thing. 103 interceptions. So, I mean, you know, the touchdown interception ratio is not what you would want it to be. But nevertheless, no other quarterback in Oilers or Titans history took a snap in the Super Bowl. You talk about that run. Eddie George was a big part of it. Steve McNair was also. So, you think best quarterback all time, Steve McNair, is clearly, in my opinion, and there's no conversation to be had. Now, these other ones, you could jockey back and forth. I think Ryan Tannehill is cemented as number 2. And
I would agree with that.
There are some guys, though. You know, Neil O'Donnell, as Chris Sanders said, look, he went 4-1, big part, you know.
Big.
If he doesn't have that impressive ability to lead that team in those 5 games without McNair, maybe they don't make it. But either way, he's someone that deserves mention. Mm-hmm. Matt Hasselbeck as well. No Jake Locker. I'm not going to have him in the conversation.
Oh, man. What? Golly, dude.
You wanted him in there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Locker time, baby.
But, I think when you look overall, it's been a pretty – good run over the last 7 or 8 years at the quarterback position. Obviously, no Tom Brady, Drew Brees, or anything like that, but I think they've got solid play from the position. So, just in review, the top 5 quarterbacks, excluding Oilers, for the Titans all time. Kerry Collins at number 5, Vince Young at number 4, Marcus Mariota at number 3, Ryan Tannehill at number 2, Steve McNair at number 1. That's the show, folks. We're going to continue this list. As we said, we'll do the top 5 receivers in Titans history. We'll do that with Chris Sanders on Run TMC. We'll have some other top 5s for you, too. So appreciate each of you tuning in. David James over there making it happen.
Yes, sir.
This is what we do. Until then, definitely make sure you check us out. Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.